Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. Could you see that being the case, Johnny, in 5-6 years? You look back and say, you know what? Ovechkin may have had a better career than Sidney Crosby.
Of course you could. But I think two things will have to happen for that to have a conversation. He's going to have to break Gretzky's record, and I think he probably has to win the Olympics. Because what everyone will hang their hat on is that Sid won more, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, he won't have scored as many goals, but he'll have more points per game. He'll have more Stanley Cups, very likely. I don't think Washington may win again, but to win two more would be tough. And then internationally, of course, Canada has been better than Russia. Sid's teams have been better than Ovi's teams. And people will use that to compare the two of them, which is not necessarily fair, but they will. But, and if you look at Russia's team in this upcoming Olympics that they're able to play, I mean, they are every bit as good as anybody, including Canada. And so if that happens, yeah, you can make that. Like, what's the most decorated record in the game? Most goals. I mean, if he scores 900 goals.
Yeah.
That's tough to argue. 18 years of 50? What are we talking about? It's insane that he's even really thinking about it.
Yeah, it is. Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah, and it's seeming like more and more of a reality day in, day out. You know, I think the hardware could be there too. I mean, the heart, the rockets, the cup is not in his control. The gold medal isn't necessarily in his control, but it factors into the overall conversation. We were talking about Brad Marchand. Why don't we play this clip? Because I think the Artemi Panarin scene, when we saw it, we were goofing on Panarin. We're like, who throws a glove at a guy? Mm-hmm. Like, who right. throws a glove?
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It was goofy. And now we have some context in terms of what Marchand was saying to him. This is what Brad Marchand had to say earlier today about his back and forth with Artemi Panarin.
I said that no one in Russia likes him. So if that is now what is setting guys over the edge, then this is the softest league in the world. And no one should be allowed to say anything, because there's a lot worse things said out there than that. So that's what he's crying about, then it is what it is.
What do you make of that, Johnny?
Well, okay, so this is quite an involved answer, but do you guys remember last year when Artemi Panarin's story broke out of Russia that he had assaulted a woman in some capacity, and he's been a critic of the government there, and there's lots more than just saying nobody likes you. Right, there is like a legitimate. He took a leave of absence to deal with the fallout of this and pressure on his family. Like, it's not just, hey, Mike, nobody likes you, you're a loser. Okay, like, whatever. It's different. It'd be like if, you know, the equivalent would be if the Canadian government planted a story about Brad Marchand beating up a woman 2 years ago as a teenager. Like, it would, you know, there's more to it than just. And I don't know if.
If you just break it down as
a comment, like, no one in Russia likes you, it's like, get serious,
I
man.
Think Marchand knows.
Well,
exactly,
I gotta tell you, like, yeah, and I think that's where Marchand's coming from. Like, whatever, nobody in Russia likes you, blah, it's not a big deal. But I think why he reacted so strongly is because there's a lot more to that statement, that insult, that chirp, than just whatever, nobody likes you. And so, like, I could see the reaction because, you know, he probably feels pretty sensitive. Like, it's a pretty raw and important subject for him. And I could see a reaction there. And I don't know if Marchand would know and understand the entire backstory.
Well, I guess.
Or care if he did.
You're right. And even if Marchand knew what he was doing, he hit a nerve there. But what's the line? Because, I mean, if I Google Brad Marchand right now, what video comes up? There's some, like, little Czech Republic guy who's like 2 feet tall who fights people with a big nose, right? Have you seen that little guy?
Yes, I've seen that guy. Yeah.
I mean, how many times? So if Brad Marchand was very sensitive to the size of his nose or his stature, I mean, what's the line? This is where I think it gets muddled, because if I understand slurs and racial, all of that type of stuff, that is off limits, and it should be, and that's not even a question. But what mm-hmm. is the line saying, hey, nobody in your country likes you? And, like, I understand there's a backstory. Well, the backstory, Brad Marchand could be sensitive to him being smaller in stature or having a giant nose. Like, I just, what is the line? That's
well,
my that's,
question. It's arbitrary. There is no definition on it. I mean, we have defined a couple of things to your point. Homophobic slurs not allowed.
No, that's, yeah, not
racial slurs not allowed. But
right.
this is you know, about his nationality. It is is about his history. And I believe, and this is me just reading the tea leaves, Brad Marchand is downplaying it because I think he knows exactly what he was saying. I think it's such a mundane, stupid tweet, chirp, that a guy with a history of chirping would never say it. He'd be embarrassed to say it if he didn't know it was gonna land.
He knew
it was going to land. Yeah. He knows Panarin is sensitive to it and is probably thinking, I can't go home, or if I do go home, my life has been turned upside down.
Right.
And that's the point of it. Marchand knew exactly why. Because if I said to you, Noodles, no one in St. Albert likes you, you'd be like, shut up, you're such a loser. How would you know that? You know, or no one in Halifax loves you, Brad Marchand. You wouldn't even think twice about it. But the Russian Panarin angle, because there's history, Marchand knew exactly what he was doing.
I believe
he knew exactly that it was going to land. And but now he's trying to downplay it and be like, oh, it's soft, this, that, or the other. You know, Russia's a different beast, man.
And my question is that offside, though?
I'm not saying it's offside in terms of fines or suspensions.
Right?
But
because if it was Hayes, he'd be suspended, right? Like, they would have said, they would have done something. The league would have reacted. I guess you could argue it's insensitive. Right. And maybe, like, that's a line that players don't want to cross because, like, you know, can you make fun of someone's wife? Can you make fun of someone's kids? Can you make...
I think Noodle's point is, if this is the case, then everyone can take any comment down a road that becomes offensive. Oh, you're a fat pig. Oh, I used to have a pig farm where the pigs got whatever, and I'm sensitive to pigs. It's like, you could take any comment and say, I'm sensitive to that, and you could take it down any road.
You're right.
But that road is way shorter for Panarin, whose life like might literally have been in danger about this, than you and your pig farm. So, like, I understand, like, are people too hypersensitive? And Panarin's not asking for him to be suspended. He's just like, I didn't like it. I threw a glove at him. Okay, so, like, I think it can all move on. It's obviously a gray area there. It's not the same as the obvious lines that guys don't cross. It's in the area where, you know, it's some sort of, like, nationality-based one, but it's not specifically about him. So it's tricky, but it was an effective jerk move, but that's the whole point of it. It was like a dirtball comment, and that's the whole point of it.
Right.
And I guess maybe I wasn't giving him enough credit, Hayes, if you think he knew what he was doing, and I would have thought maybe he wasn't so well-read in on the situation. He's just like, whatever, there's something going on in Russia, I'll give it to him because he didn't play for the national team.
I think it's such, again, a mundane, kind of lame chirp that you have to know it's going to land. Like, I would expect more from Marchand, who chirps with the best of them.
I guess
that's what I'm saying. It's an effective chirp. I think Marchand pulled it off beautifully. Panarin, you know, if he's sensitive to it, that's on him. And clearly he was. I guess what I'm saying also is I'm not surprised Panarin was. You know, I don't look at this as, oh, he's so soft. I think it's really deeply rooted, man. Like,
exactly. And maybe that's the answer, though, like Noodles. Maybe that's the conversation. Like, it's not completely offside where, you know, Brad Marchand should be suspended for this. And it's not, oh, look how soft Panarin is. Anyone could be offended by anything. Like, this rings way truer and closer to home than a normal comment about me being from Scarborough or going to college or whatever you might want to say to me.
Right.
And maybe that's it. And maybe that's just how it's left.
I agree with you, Hayes. Like, thinking about it, like, these guys know. I mean, they're well-versed in the league. He might have known that he was hitting a nerve. I remember Alex Burrows admitting that he used to read articles on other teams and that to get underneath the skin of players. And, you know, if it hit a nerve as to, you know, a guy struggling or a guy hadn't scored in this, like, these chirpers, these guys know because they're well-schooled in. And this one landed, you're right. And if you take a step back just from the humanity standpoint, we all know, you know, Panarin's challenge. So I could see where it hit a nerve. But I guess my point is like, where is the line? Because there are people that probably take exception, a guy like Marchand, if he was like, hey, I like my nose, but you know what? He's got, like, you know what I mean? I'm not lying. It's kind of funny because all I see of little memes when Marchand comes up is that little guy in the Czech Republic fighting. And I think it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
How do you know that guy's in the Czech Republic? I've seen that.
Feels Albanian to me.
Okay, sorry about Albanian. But
yeah, come on,
Eastern
let's
Europe.
These
I should.
Details,
but my point is, like, I think it's funny, and I think Brad Marchand would think it was funny. This one isn't funny because it hit a particular nerve for Panarin, but what is the line? That's my whole question, right?
Yeah, and that's and listen, I don't have that answer for you. And
right.
Am I surprised that Panarin reacted the way he did? Yes, I am. I'm not, but I can't put myself in his shoes based on his relationship with Russia and his country and how complicated things can be over there and how dangerous they can be at times.
Exactly.
And I do believe I have enough respect for Marchand as a chirper to believe that this would be a chirp he wouldn't just throw out without kind of knowing this one's probably going to hurt. You know, this one might sting, and that's why I'm going to go there.
And on some level, we've all heard a lot of stuff on the ice, right? On some level, like choosing not to react, even though it maybe does hit home, is sometimes the better play because then it's not going to be repeated. Like when you get this reaction, now it's out there, and if you want to maybe get in his ear and say something that might bother him in a playoff series, if this is not going to be a suspendable thing and you're okay with doing it, you don't have a problem on the moral scale, which that's a different conversation, then like now people know that one hits home. And it should, though. Like I think it's a different animal over there. Who knows what's going on with his family? You could see why he would react. I don't consider him soft for like reacting strongly for this.
No.
Johnny, do you have any case for Patrick Waugh being the GM of the Montreal Canadiens?
Well, as a media member, I can make a great case for him. But I mean, I think the case is he would be a figurehead. I think he would resonate with the fans and the history and the organization, the experience there. That's the case. I can't make a case. Now, I'm not saying he's not proficient as a GM, but I can't say because of what I saw when he won Coach of the Year one time when his goalie won the Vezina in Colorado, and because he runs a successful organization in Quebec that always has the best kids with the most money and the best barn, that makes him qualified to be a GM. I can't say that. So you can make a case that he checks a lot of boxes, but I got to talk to him, and I got to understand how does he see the game? How does he build a team? How would he build a front office around himself? And how would he work with, at the very least, a co-equal, if not a superior, in Jeff Gordon, before I could say, he should be a prime candidate? Because I don't know that. I can't say that that's the case because I don't know his history. I don't know enough about him. He hasn't shown me enough at the NHL level to say, oh, yeah, he's got to figure it out.
Yeah, we had the conversation earlier. I mean, Jeff Gordon, it depends on what he's looking for. Is he wanting someone simply to relay his information, or is he looking for someone to be the face of the organization? Because if you bring in Patrick Waugh, that's what you're getting. You know, Patrick Waugh, I don't think he's just saying, why don't you write that down for me, Jeff, and I'll go out there and say it verbatim.
I don't think he would just want the name, period, Hazy. Like the name Patrick Waugh, any GM would know. A bump in the road, and a whole city's going to say, Patrick Waugh, take over and get Gordon out of there. It's just I think he would want this Darche down in Tampa. It just seems like a lower profile and a lower kind of everything where he can just relay messages, and that's it. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they're going to rebuild a little bit, and it's like, Jeff Molson said that word, I'm not scared of that, and he talked about making changes. Does Patrick Waugh want to come in and be average to below average for 4 years? Is he not going to have the patience for that, the competitor that he is? I there's lots of stories about him in Colorado wanting this player and that player and demanding this trade and that trade because he was impatient. So we'll see. I mean, it is fascinating. I mean, I'm with you. Oh, I think Matthew Darche is a very good candidate, if not the favorite. But, to hear Danny Briere, my old roommate, as a candidate, he's been running the Philadelphia Flyers minor league organization, to hear Vinny Damfus, Patrick Waugh, some fascinating names, at least that are kind of high-profile players that could be considered, which would be interesting.
So we got some news here in terms of a signing down in Jersey. Jack Hughes has signed an 8-year extension at $8 million per.
Yeah.
8x8. And, he's the first overall pick a few years ago. He's been injured this year. His numbers are not spectacular, but he's a young kid with, playing on a team that isn't exactly loaded. This feels like a gamble to me with Jersey, but they're banking on him being an $11, $12 million star. You better be if he's first overall, and that you're going to be paying him $8 million. They're taking a gamble here. It's a long-term bet on a guy who hasn't done a ton early in his career.
Yeah. So he's still very young, so you're going to get him for the meat of his career, right? That's good. You like that. I know he hasn't scored a ton, but I know you guys will hate to hear this, but like his underlying number is very, very strong last year. Even though he didn't get a ton of points, a ton of goals, some of that's him, some of it's the team, but very strong. So I think they believe he's got elements to his game that are really good away from the puck, let alone the stuff that he can do with it. They're banking on a point a game guy for the rest of his career, and I think they're going to have that. I think he's really, really good so long as he can stay healthy. And I think the fact that he's been banged around a little bit early on in his career, and he's a slight guy and a smaller guy who does get hit on occasion because he gets in and around the puck, that would be the biggest concern for me. But I think 8 years from now, Hayes, you also going to think, the cap's flat for 3 or 4 years here, right? But presumably it's going to start going up again.
Johnny, you got to explain one thing to me, bud.
What's that?
7 goals, 14 assists, 11 goals, 20 assists. What the hell kind of underlying numbers could make somebody give him 8 times 8? All right, let's just break that down into meathead stuff like we are. We're meatheads, okay?
Brickhead.
21 points.
Brickhead.
Brickhead. We're three brickheads. 21 points, 31 points.
Well, I think like as far as his like scoring chances and his shots and his defensive ability, they're all very strong. His shooting percentage, the shooting percentage when he was on the ice, which sometimes is a function of the talent of the guys you're playing with, was way unsustainably low. So what do you have? 31 points last year in 50 games.
56.
So like half a point a game, roughly. I think they would anticipate this year he would have had 70 points as that the talent, his experience, and the people around him get better. I think that's what they're gambling on. But I think the idea that he's just a point creator is a bit inaccurate. He's actually quite a good possession, solid two-way centerman. Even though he's a tiny guy and you don't see a whole bunch of him, you don't watch Jersey play because it hasn't been very much fun to watch. I think that's the stuff they're seeing. And like they better see a lot of it because those numbers are pretty pedestrian.
Well, let me throw in the other thing. And Hayes, you always talk about it. Like, this is a team, New Jersey, like they got to retain their talent. They just got their number one overall pick to sign an 8-year deal in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Like,
with Heischer signing as well.
Heischer signed a long-term deal too.
But they got Dougie Hamilton on term. Like, this is a team that, thinks they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
New Jersey isn't the number one destination in the National Hockey League. I always talk about
as long as Jamie, moving forward, that Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes are your guys going to war, and those are the guys that are going to get it done for you.
$15 million combined between the two of them.
Have fun with that.
Well, I understand.
And I like Jack Hughes.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that marketplace, you might have to pay a little New Jersey tax there, too. So even if that's $7 million, it might be $1 million a year more just because, hey, this kid's made an 8-year commitment at 20 years old. Like he just turned 20. Like there's a long runway there. We'll see. The contract doesn't match what the production has been, but they believe it's going to when New Jersey turns a corner. That would be my take.
Yeah, no, I think that's sensible. And listen, if he turns into a 70-point guy, two-way player, then he's worth every penny, if not a bargain, especially if the cap goes up, for sure.
Yeah, and like that, what's a number one center worth 5 years from now? 12 or 13? I don't
probably,
know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Right, so like 8, even if he's not a top 15 center in the league, if he's in the top 30, like that's probably not terrible value if the cap is able to creep back up in a couple of years.
Right.
Where's Tristan Jarry on your rankings of Canadian goaltenders and pursuing the Olympics? Noodles, we haven't brought him up many times. I mean,
well, he's had a
great
run here, really. I mean, Johnny, you like him? I mean, I like him as a goalie, but there's still, to me, there's still much more consistency that's needed because he's playing like the Jarry that pushed out Matt Murray 2 years ago, but last year he was a disaster, and it happens for a young goaltender. But this year he looks really tight and really dialed in.
He's been so good lately, man.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the numbers are the numbers. I can't break down his game, but I mean, his numbers are through the roof. He's had other good stretches. Like he's made an All-Star game once, didn't he, Noodles? Like he had a great first half, and then maybe struggled down the stretch. But what's interesting is that like, I don't even know, was he on the initial list for Canada?
I don't think so.
Was he? Because, it's wide open. Like, I don't know who's going to play goalie for Canada. Like, if Carey Price, who knows? Marc-Andre Fleury, who knows? Mackenzie Blackwood, Tristan Jarry, like, who knows? Kemper, like, these, like, none of those guys are, like, slam dunks. You can't put Kemper on there, or you have to keep Jarry off because Kemper has to go. Like, those guys don't have that kind of resume. So, I guess if he's available, if he's, because I think if you're on the list, you're part of the drug testing for the next couple months, and have been. Because I think I read that Sweden has asked for an exemption to add Lucas Raymond to their top 50 players because he wasn't on it. So I'm curious if, you know, anyone has a great start, they got to be added in late. Maybe Jari's one of those guys.
This is not going to happen. But do you know whose numbers have been crazy this year and even last season? Is James Reimer. Crazy numbers. Just if you're looking just at the raw stats, and I know that hits a nerve for this market, but I mean,
Minister of Defense, no.
Seriously, it's funny because, you know, digging into them last week and seeing Reimer and all, like this guy is literally, at one point I think he was tied with Jack Campbell for the same save percentage and just a little less wins and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, he that was his first bad night of the year. But ultimately bounced right back, I think, 2 days later with a two-goal performance the next night. Like, he's played very well, but I don't even think he's in consideration.
No, and maybe
but if you're just going
in that
strictly
group,
on numbers, right?
Right.
You got it.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I will admit my bias here. I have Jarry in my fantasy pool, and I'm like, man, this guy every single night. Like, last night against Calgary, he was unbelievable.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying he'd start or even be a guy that would dress, but do you talk about maybe the third option on a team if other guys just aren't, you know, doing it for you? If Price is out of the running, you know, and you're looking at Fleury and Binnington as your 1-2, who's going to be your third goalie? I think it would be open to competition across the board.
And I think the need to take, like, a veteran good guy, Mike Smith, you know, third goalie, no. In that short tournament with the question marks they have, just take the hottest guy. Just take the hottest guy, and maybe he has to get in there, and he can ride that wave, and maybe he turns into whoever. You know, Manny Legacy of the World Juniors. Like, just stands on his head, even though he's not necessarily known to do that. It is going to be interesting, though, because it is still pretty wide open, as is the Americans. Because Demko and Hellebuck and Gibson, like, they've all been good, but, you know, Jack Campbell's been way better. So, you know, we'll see if they go on, you know, reputation or on performance.
Johnny, give an educated guess on where Jake DeBrusque ends up before we get you out of here.
I say he goes to Ottawa Ottawa, Detroit, one of the bad teams, you know, Buffalo. It's a team that can take a flyer that has room and can eat a bit of that salary and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we were saying. That makes sense. You can take on the deal. You can pay him. Maybe give him an extension even when you acquire him, you know, if that's even possible or close to it, and run with him. But we'll see. I mean, that's going to happen. You got to believe in the next few weeks anyway. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again later in the week.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. Pre-orders are now available for all models, including the all-new 2022 Tundra and Corolla Cross. Visit MapleToyota.com.